Lies are the evidence of a heart that knows not the Savior. Lies are sin, sin that will take you to a lost eternity. There is one who never lied, the Lord Jesus Christ. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, 1 Peter 2, verse 20. He stood before liars, was condemned by liars, was crucified under the weight of false accusations, yet he bore the punishment for sin. And he calls through his gospel sinners not to lie, but to come to the truth. Sinners to come and to confess their sins. Why? Because he is able, he is faithful, he is just to forgive us our sins.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. Hello and welcome to our program today. I'm Andrew Fitton, delighted to have you with us as we desire to let the Bible speak to your heart and to your soul. Our message today is founded upon the ninth commandment, Exodus chapter 20 and the verse 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness. How many look at this commandment today and they treat it lightly, they set it aside. But yet it is a serious commandment that we need to take upon our hearts, and being one of God's commandments, we must obey it. Let us go to a pulpit in Cloverdale to consider an exhortation to truth.
As we live our lives day by day, often we find ourselves coming across a case in a courtroom that might be in the newspaper or on the news, that may be on television, That may even be in real life, and we find ourselves upon a case in court involving us or involving others, and often we find one who stands up and they promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. They look the judge in the eye and they promise to tell the truthful account of what has taken place. But every word that comes out of that mouth, perhaps unknown to the court, is a lie. It is a lie. Now think of that situation and think of a man who lies about himself. A man who lies not to a judge but to God himself. And that is not something we can imagine, because in Scripture we find a record of that taking place. In Acts chapter 5, we find a man called Ananias, who with his wife sold a possession of land. These were two members of the early church. They had come into the church, and no doubt they were baptized, respected. They came into the assembly of God's people, but there was this pretense within their heart that they were more spiritual than they actually were. They sold land and gave part of the proceeds to the apostles. The implication being that they gave everything. They sold a piece of land and 100% of that money went to the church, when in fact they secretly kept back part of that money themselves, desiring maybe the praise of men. And they told a half-truth. They told a lie. They claimed that this was all the money, but yet Peter points out in verse 3 of Acts 5, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? The same thing happened with his wife, and the Spirit of God struck them dead, and they were carried out because they lied to the Holy Ghost, because they broke the ninth commandment, because they sinned not just against their neighbor, but they sinned against God himself. And when we think of this, it brings us to our text this evening, Exodus chapter 20 and the verse 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And this commandment reminds us that we are to tell the truth. We are to bear a truthful witness. Acts chapter 5 reminds us that God sees what we do. God sees or hears what we say. God knows whether we tell a lie or not. And when we think of the lies that are told in this world, we may have no idea whether they are true or whether they are not. And we often perhaps come across questions, maybe a quiz, and we are given perhaps a question, and the answer is this true or is this false? Did such and such a person say such and such a thing, true or false? And well, sometimes it might be true, sometimes it might be false. We have to determine that. But we know in life, that there are many who tell lies. Can we discern the truth? Sometimes it can be very difficult. Sometimes the lie is exactly what we want to hear, and therefore we are biased toward it and we accept it. Sometimes the truth is not what we want to hear, and therefore we treat the truth as if it were a lie. And we need to be those who are discerning. Those who are discerning. But coming to consider this commandment this evening, it deals with the necessity of honest words. Honest words. Witnesses were an important part of the Jewish law. We see that in Deuteronomy 17, verse 6. At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death. But at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death, There was an emphasis upon the importance of witnesses. And there was a need for a command such as the ninth commandment to govern the honesty and the trustworthiness of witnesses. The Word of God reminds us of the consequence of a false witness. Proverbs 25, a man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. We're reminded in 1 Kings 21 of Naboth and the false witnesses, of Stephen and accusations from false witnesses in the book of Acts. And a false witness is a grave danger and a weapon of death. If the system of justice is to be kept pure, then it must be governed by honesty and truth in all of its business. And the same applies to us as believers. If we are to be kept pure, if we are to be governed by honesty and truthfulness, then we need to keep this commandment. We are witnesses of our Savior, and we must apply the principles of the ninth commandment to our daily lives. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Who is our neighbor? Well, perhaps a good definition would be anybody and everybody around us in the world. You could look at your house and you have a neighbor on the left, you have a neighbor on the right, and therefore, as long as you tell the truth to those two individuals, you're keeping this commandment. That's not quite the case. There's a greater scope. Those within church are your neighbor, yet they may live 40 minutes an hour from where your home is. They are still your neighbor. And so as the people of God, we are commanded here, and of course all people are commanded. This is not just a commandment for those who believe in God, but it is part of the moral law that is binding upon mankind. We are to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And so tonight we have an exhortation to truth. An exhortation to truth. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And firstly, we see, delving into the depth of this commandment, we are to recognize the deceitfulness of our heart. We are to recognize the deceitfulness of our heart. What has the deceitfulness of our heart to do with telling the truth? Perhaps that connection in your mind has been made, because we know, as Jeremiah tells us, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our hearts are naturally deceitful, naturally wicked. They are naturally against the commandments of God. Oh, you may say, I keep the commandments. Do you? I keep them as best I can. Do you? But your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And your heart, despite your best intentions, your heart goes against the commandments of God. And as we move down these commandments, we can expound them and explain them. They are a summary of God's law. And we can consider the importance of these in regard to worship, in regard to God Himself, and in regard to the Sabbath day. Moving into verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother. There's a respect of authority. Verse 13, thou shalt not kill. In the Sermon on the Mount, the Savior referred to anger. Anger comes under that commandment. Verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. Verse 15, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. All of these things, and there is so much in here that can be unpacked and expounded. We can look at verse 13. Well, as long as we don't kill anybody, then everything is okay. Verse 14, as long as we don't commit adultery, then everything is okay. It is the actual act of adultery, is it not? But the Savior spoke about this commandment and spoke about lust. Spoke about lust. Back in the 1600s, the King James Version of the Bible was printed in England, 1611, and then it was reprinted. And I found out recently that there was an edition printed in around the 1630s. And it was called the Wicked Bible because in this particular passage there was an omission. And it said, thou shalt commit adultery. And it caused quite a stir in England at that time, and quite a stir among the Puritans, because it was Puritan England. And as history records, those that printed that copy of the Bible, those that made the mistake, and it's quite a significant mistake, those that made that mistake lost their printer's license because of the mistake that had been made. And there are many today who live as if, even in the Christian church, who live as if they are reading that Bible, only they apply it to every commandment. Thou shalt do this, thou shalt do that, but God says, thou shalt not. And coming to the ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness. This is something that we are commanded by the God of heaven not to do. But yet the deceitfulness of our hearts motivates us to tell lies and to twist the truth and to corrupt the truth. We can consider the tongue. The tongue can be used to praise God, but the tongue can be used in so many spiteful ways. The Word of God reminds us about the danger of the tongue. Turn with me to the book of James. The book of James. And in James 1, verse 26, it says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. What is James saying? That the religion, the professed religion of a man is empty if he cannot bridle his own tongue, if he cannot control that tongue, if he spouts out lies and deceit and bears false witness. This man's religion is vain. And in chapter 3 and verse 5, we read the words, even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Verse 8, but their tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. James points out the tongue. Oh, it's a little member. It's little in comparison to the size of our bodies. But it boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. A little fire. We know about little fires here in BC. A little spark starts and it turns into a great forest fire. And the comparison is made that the tongue does the same. The tongue does the same. What would be the easiest way tonight for us all to fall out with each other? For us to storm out of church and jump in our cars and drive home and say, we're never going to this place again. What's the easiest way? It's probably through the use of the tongue. Saying lies, deceit, spiteful things, hurtful things. It's so easy to do. And oh, how often we do it. How often we do it. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And this teaching in Scripture about the tongue, it ties into this ninth commandment, for it is a commandment really about the tongue. Yes, we can lie by our behavior, and we can lie through many things, but primarily we lie through the tongue. The tongue is that which bears deceit and bears lies and brings our lies into the world and into the ears of others. And the ninth commandment instructs us to be a faithful witness and to use our tongue not against our neighbor, but for the good of our neighbor. This is a divine prohibition from any form of speech, any action that is lying or slander or deceit, anything that is not true. And therefore there is here an exhortation to truth. And to understand the importance of this, we have to think of our heart that is deceitful. We have to think of our tongue that is difficult and hard to control. There are many lies in this world. There are many who misrepresent things, many who maybe cheat on an exam and it's hidden. There are many lies, and no doubt each and every one of us, we've engaged in lies at some point in our lives. Maybe we are engaging in lies even today. And the unrepentant sinner says, well, I'm not that bad. And they come to this commandment and they excuse it. It's not a serious thing to say something that is untrue. It is not a serious thing to tell a little lie. Oh, your parent asks you, did you do this? Did you cause this mess? Did you go into my wallet and take that money? Did you go and cause this trouble and break this ornament or this mirror or whatever it is? And it's so easy to say, no, it wasn't me. We all know about the great question the teacher asks, where's your homework? And of course, even if you don't have a dog, you might even say, well, the dog got it. I don't have a dog, but the dog had a hand in it. An excuse, a lie. And we can lie so easily in life. We can tell lies constantly, and the problem is that we can become desensitized to the seriousness of lies. Our life becomes made of lies, built of lies. And we become desensitized to the seriousness of the ninth commandment. Oh, is that a picture of you tonight, believer, unbeliever? Have lies become part of your being, part of your life, part of your character? Living a different life, living perhaps in a different way, living perhaps as if all is well with you and all is well with your soul, but in reality it is not. Living as if you're going on with God, but you're not. Living as if you're saved, and you're not. There is this great command against lies. The Word of God, in Proverbs chapter 12, the verse 19 says, a lying tongue is but for a moment. A lying tongue is but for a moment. It lasts for a moment, for a period of time, maybe a lifetime. But it lasts for a moment. But the consequences of that lie, the consequences of that lying heart, is for all eternity. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. Revelation reminds us that all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All liars, all who lie. There's no category of liars here. There's no category of great liars and scandalous liars or political liars or false teachers who tell lies about the gospel. All liars are included. And God takes this commandment seriously. And we need to look at ourselves, dear congregation, tonight. And we need to look at our hearts. And we need to realize and examine ourselves. Do we have a deceitful heart? Do we have a heart that is desperately wicked? Do we have a heart that expresses itself through lies and falsehood? For you and me.
Spurgeon brings us today to John 17, verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Behold, the liberality of the Lord Jesus. For he hath given us his all. Although a tithe of his possessions would have made a universe of angels rich beyond all thought, yet was he not content until he had given us all that he had. It would have been surprising grace if he had allowed us to eat the crumbs of his bounty beneath the table of his mercy. But he will do nothing by halves. He makes us sit with him and share the feast. Had he given us some small pension from his royal coffers, we would have had cause to love him eternally. But no, he will have his bride as rich as himself. And he will not have a glory or a grace in which he shall not share. He has not been content with less than making us joint heirs with himself, so that we might have equal possessions. He has emptied all his estate into the coffers of the church, and hath all things common with his redeemed. There is not one room in his house, the key of which he will withhold from his people. He gives them full liberty to take all that he hath to be their own. He loves them to make free with his treasure, and appropriate as much as they can possibly carry. The boundless fullness of his all-sufficiency is as free to the believer as the air he breathes. Christ hath put the flagon of his love and grace to the believer's lip, and bidden him drink on for ever, for could he drain it, he is welcome to do so, and as he cannot exhaust it, he is bidden to drink abundantly, for it is all his own. What truer proof of fellowship can heaven or earth afford? When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty not my own, when I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. Thank you for joining us today on Let the Bible Speak, and we trust that God's word has been a rich blessing to your heart and to your soul. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.